So we'll read verses 36 through 38. Being cursed by the Brahmanas, the same two associates took birth again as Kumbhakarna and the ten-headed Ravana. These two Rakshasas were killed by Lord Ramachandra's extraordinary power. Pierced by the arrows of Lord Ramachandra, both Kumbhakarna and Ravana lay on the ground and left their bodies, fully absorbed in thought of the Lord, just as they had in their previous births as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. They both took birth again in human society as Shishupala and Dantravarka and continued in the same enmity towards the Lord. It was they who merged into the body of the Lord in your presence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vairagnu Badena means acting like the Lord's enemy is also beneficial for the living entity. So acting like the Lord's enemy is also beneficial for the living entity. Kamad, Dweshad, Bayat, Snehad. Whether in lusty desire, anger, fear, or enemy of the Lord, some or other, as recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasya Kena Upanyena, one should become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ultimately achieve the goal of returning home, back to Godhead. What then is to be said of one who is related to the Supreme Personality of God as a servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai ki. So Narada Muni speaking, and he's speaking to Yudhisthira, who wants to know who these personalities were that were killed by the Lord. So now the history is being narrated. What happened here? We lost our channel? Bhakti Siddhanta taught us that we should sit straight like this when we're listening to class. Like very straight, you know? Straight. I like that. Brahmachari means austerity, right? All right. There's the speaker over there. Sit straight. Mataji's too. It's good because when the spine is straight, attention is enhanced to a certain degree. Really, it works. That's why they say, Prabhupada used to say, when you chant japa, sit properly. You hear that on the tape? Sit properly. That means straight. Keep the back as straight as possible. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta was this nice, sticky brahmachari, so his sitting straight was natural. He didn't have to sit straight. He was always straight. We have to kind of like work at it. But once you start practicing, it really helps to increase attention, both for the speaker and for the hearer. So, Krishna is so amazing. Even if you approach him, even if a living entity approaches him in lust, anger, fear, as Kamsa did. Kamsa was overwhelmed with fear. So much so that he was having delusions in his fearful condition of state and seeing his own death come in different ways. He's so fearful of the Lord. But because of that, he got liberation when he was killed. Just because he merged his consciousness constantly in a fearful mood in the Lord. Kubja, she was a hunchback prostitute. But she had lusty desires for the Lord. And therefore, she actually became liberated. The Lord actually touched her and straightened her up like that. Just like I'm telling you, should sit straight. Kubja attained perfection simply by sitting up straight. No, I'm just kidding. Some devotees told me this. This is amazing. They are chiropractors, so they went to their chiropractor convention to learn different techniques in chiropractic. So there was a slideshow on chiropractic, and one of the slides was Krishna pulling up Kubja. completely secular program. And this was one of the slides. Krishna was pulling up Kubja and straightening her out. Pretty good, huh? So we should learn from Kubja. Sit up. Don't sit like that. Prabhupada would. If Prabhupada was here, he'd chastise you. I'm serious. I'm just being nice. You can't hold like this. It's an offense, according to Nectar Devotion. You can't hold your legs. You can't, sit sloppy. That's temple etiquette. Etiquette is the ornament of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. Okay, so it doesn't matter. But what is this? Is Krishna. Krishna is so magnanimous and so merciful that even if a living entity thinks of him in a negative way, they get purified. What was Hiranyaksha's mood? He was so greedy. He couldn't control his greed. Greed destroys all the good qualities of a person. One who becomes greedy cannot think clearly. All they think is how to get more of something, whether it's sense gratification, material possessions, money, or just being greedy for things or activities. Greed destroys. He was so greedy that he didn't care that by his greed he was exploiting the whole earth so badly that the earth fell from its orbit, landed in the Garbhodak ocean. Below, in the bottom of the universe, the Lord incarnated as Brahadev to save the earth. He was a personification of greed. Krishna killed greed. His brother, younger brother, older brother. Who was older? Hiranyakashipu was older, yes. Because, they have it backwards in today's secular society. If twins are born, the first one who comes out, they say, is the oldest. But it's actually the other way around. The last one who comes out is the oldest. Why? Because impregnation is that the other womb is fertilized first, and then the second. And therefore, the fertilization time is the age and not the time when conception comes. Interesting, huh? So we don't know anything. We have to learn from Vedic culture. So Hiranyaksha came out last. No, he came out first, but actually he was the younger brother of Hiranyakashipu. And what was Hiranyakashipu's negativity? All the demons have all the bad qualities, right? That's what it means to be a demon. But he had one outstanding bad quality. Who knows it? Hiranyaksha was greed. What was his bad quality? Outstanding. Interactive class. Yeah, but there are six bad qualities. There's greed, lust, anger, pride, illusion, and envy. What was his? Each of the six demons have one of these outstanding qualities. Pride. Who said pride? Okay, just because you're sitting up straight, you knew the answer. See the benefit? Hare Krishna. He was so proud that he thought no one is greater than me. That's the nature of pride. And if someone is greater than someone who is proud, oh, how unhappy they feel, or how vengeful they feel. They either feel unhappy or vengeful, or may take this action to defame that person or even destroy that person. Pride is so bad. In the Sanskrit translation of the English, the word pride is mada. M-A-D-A. And what does madha mean? Madness. Pride. What is a devotee's pride? Does devotees have pride? Each one of these qualities have a spiritual definition. The pride of a devotee is that he's proud to be a servant of the Lord. He's proud to be a servant of the Lord's servants. That kind of pride is natural. But any other kind of pride, pride in beauty, pride in wealth, pride in achievements, a pride in anything you can think of, education, it's all hankara. Hankara means false. It is simply part of the illusionary energy. Therefore, it's false. What's the greatest of all pride? Out of all the kinds of way you can be proud, what is the most powerful element of pride in the material sense? Who knows? Is it education, beauty, fame, wealth? Which one is it? Fame. No. You're not sitting up straight. That's why you don't know the answer. I'm just kidding. Okay. No, what is the answer? It's easy. What is the, who's the most proudest people in the world today? Huh? It's in the Krishna, not Krishna, but Narada Muni cursed two personalities who are demigods. Wealth. It's mentioned in that purport that wealth is the greatest form or the most thickest, deepest form of pride. When you have wealth, you think you can do anything. You can control anybody. You think you are Bhagavan. Right? Get wealth, get freedom, get power, get control, get followers. Right? There was one man, he was 70-some years old. He was so wealthy that he would marry these girls at 20. Girls from 20. Who would marry a 75-year-old guy as a 20-year-old girl? But girls would marry him because he was so much of a millionaire. And then after 2 years, they would divorce him. He'd give them a couple $1 million and find another new girl. And that's what he would do. We go from one young girl to another. Because he had money. He thought, oh, because I have money, I can do anything, right? No money. It's such an illusion, right? And when you lose your money, oh, you think you lost everything, right? In 1929, America had the Great Depression. And they're in the second cycle of the Great Depression right now. But the Great Depression in 1929 caused people to jump out of windows. By the dozens, people were jumping out of windows committing suicide. It was so devastating. The whole Wall Street market crashed to the ground. There was nothing left. All people's money was worthless. The banks were finished. And people thought, it's the end of the world. But you know what the Shastras say? It says Niti Shastra, but it's Shastra. If you lose your money, you lose nothing. If you lose your health, you lose something. And if you lose Krishna, you lose everything. Yeah. Somehow or other, you can live without money. Yeah? Sometimes you even live better without money. In many cases, you can ask a few brahmacharis, not all of them, but a few of them. They'll know. You know, sometimes people lose money and they're actually better off. So money is not a big loss, but it's such a great form of pride when you have money. So, and Harani Kashipu, he had everything. He had the whole world. He even had control of the demigods except for Brahma, Shiva, and Narada. Such pride. Krishna smashed that pride. Ram. Ravana, what was his negative quality? Lust. Oh, he was so lusty. Oh. He was the personification of lust. He had so many qualified ladies, and his wife, she was Mandodari. She is glorified as one of the most chaste and faithful ladies in Vedic culture. Along with Sita and Anasuya and many of the great ladies, she is glorified as chaste. That means he had, you know, the best household life you could think of. But not satisfied. Lust is like fire. Bhagavad Gita says, when you put fuel on the fire, what do? The fire goes down, but you give it some time, and then that fuel catches like a log. And then what happens? It burns even stronger than it was before. Every time you satisfy your lust outside of the regulative principles, go beyond what it's necessary, you actually increase it, you don't decrease it. And there's a picture in Bhagavad Gita. Lust is characterized as a fire-eating demon, just consuming everything in its path. People know. Sometimes people go and cheat and find some other person's wife, knowing that by doing that they can be killed, and still they do it. Blinds one to any type of intelligence. So lust, it's just so consuming. Ravana had everything. He had followers. He was educated. His father was a great Brahmana. And he knew the Vedas. He was handsome when he had one head. I guess when he had 10 heads, it was like a little hard to really understand being handsome with 10 heads. But anyway, when he had one, he was really a quite nice-looking guy. And he had followers, good family, so many things, wealth. Wasn't satisfied. Had to have another lady, and he made a mistake. It was the Supreme Personality of Godhead's consort, the Goddess of Fortune. So he lost everything. Lust destroys everything. It's the all Krishna says in Gita, Kama Asia, Krodha Asia, Rajaguna Samudbhava, Samamahashapno, Mahapapam, Vidyeha Vihavarinam. That lust, when it's not satisfied, what is it turned into? Anger. And what is anger? When it comes in contact with the material mode of passion, all destructive. Anger loses all intelligence. Wow, these are considered the real demons. The personification of these qualities are the demons we're talking about. But these are the real demons, the negative qualities. So Ravana was killed by Ram. He shot the arrow of bhakti into the heart. Finished him. Completely. One arrow. So where does lust sit? Lust sits in the mind, the senses, and the intelligence. But the mind is also the heart, or the seat of desires. So when Ram was trying to kill Ravana, what did he do? He kept shooting and he kept cutting off his heads. And each of the heads grow back. You can't stop lust. So we have to catch it where it begins. And then someone said, his heart is where you have to shoot the arrow. So he did, and then he destroyed Ravana. And that arrow was a powerful arrow. It was given by Agastya Muni. And Ram shot that arrow, boom, it went right into his heart, came out the other side, went all the way around the earth, and came back into the quiver of Ram. Boom. Powerful arrow. Went through the earth. Imagine. I mean, that's now he became fully purified. So that was lust. So in our struggles to become Krishna consciousness, we have to deal with this enemy of lust. How do you get rid of lust? Same way that Ravana did. You have to take shelter of Krishna. All of these demons were killed by Krishna. These qualities are more powerful than we are. You can't overcome these things by yourself. The materialists who have some good qualities, make arrangements to somehow reduce and eliminate bad qualities, but they can't do it. Only by bhakti. When the heart is changed, one's good qualities emerge and manifest and become part of one's life. And that can only be done by Krishna. So in each of the killing of these demons, a very important lesson is being explained. You are powerless. Only Krishna can save you. Our power comes from taking shelter of Krishna. That's where our power comes. That's the only power we have. There's no other power. Prahlad Maharaj said that to his father when his father said, "Where did you get your power from?" Prahlad was so bold and fearless. He was completely fearless. He said, "I get my power from the same place you get yours. The same place everyone gets their power from. Krishna." Oh, that's the last thing he wanted to hear. He became 10 times as angry. So, the brother of Ravana, Kumbhakarna, what was his negativity? We have greed, pride, and lust. There's 3 left. What was his? Illusion, yeah. He just slept. Took rest 364 days a year. That's an illusion. Prabhupada dropped a bomb on the Hare Krishna movement. He dropped many bombs on us. But in 1974, he said something really, really... It really caused the devotees to think and talk. I remember I was in New Vrindavan, and Kirtananda Swami had come back just being with Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada just said something. It's really amazing, hard to believe." He said that out of the 4 bodily activities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, the worst one is sleeping. Or oversleeping, we might say. He said, and he explained, it wastes valuable time. Time is only, you only have so much time. So excess sleep means to lose that time for Krishna consciousness. And he also says that by too much sleep, the senses and mind become more attracted to sense objects. And therefore, all the other things also become strong like that. So we were taught, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, if you're a grihastha, get enough sleep. If you're a brahmachari, be sleepy a little bit. It's good to be sleepy if you're a brahmachari. Because you can't see everything, and it's good, because then you don't go for sense gratification. But that's not actually the reason. They said brahmachari should be a little sleepy. Not too much, where you fall asleep in class. But everyone should get just what they need. Too much sleep really, really is just a form of illusion. Kumbhakarna, he just slept. How did he get that situation? He performed austerities and penances just like his brother Ravana did for so many years. And then when it came to Lord Brahma giving out the benedictions, the demigods came to Brahma and said, "You're going to give this guy a benediction? He's already, you know, traumatizing the whole world with his horrible features and his big, powerful arms. He's such a monster. Don't give him any benediction." Brahma said, "I have to." He performed austerities. And then Saraswati was there. He said, "Saraswati, do a little work when he comes. Appear on his tongue when he asks for a benediction." And so when he was standing in front of Brahma, and Brahma said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" He said, "I want to," and then Saraswati jumped in there, "sleep." And then he, "What did I say? Atastu, atastu." It means, "So be it, so be it, so be it." And Ravana heard that. He said, "What are you doing? You can't give him a benediction just to sleep. That's what he said. Can't change it. Well, it's been given." And then there was some discussion and argument, and Brahma said, "All right, he can sleep 364 days a year, and then one day he can get up and eat, take prasad, and then go back to sleep." Sounds pretty good, huh? No, it doesn't sound good at all. Anyway, he was sleeping. They tried to wake him up. Oh, God. None of them. They couldn't wake him up. When they wanted, they needed him for the fight. They were blowing bugles and playing drums. Hundreds and thousands of Rakshasa soldiers were beating drums and playing bugles. That didn't wake him up. He just went, ugh, groaned a little bit. And then they took chariots and they drove it over his body. And then they did simultaneously bugles, horns, and drums, and cymbals, and drove chariots, and were making as much noise as past conch shells, too. So many things that they were, and finally he just went, I guess it's time to get up. He was such a deep sleep. You ever try to wake up brahmacharis sometimes? They're like that sometimes. Oh. Anyway, I can tell you the history of the Brahmachari Ashram in New Vrindavan, but it's pretty boring. Yeah, well, you want to hear that. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. So, what happened? He finally got up, demon of illusion, and he was killed by Ram. So again, illusion. What is illusion? Illusion means to take something that is not and say what it is. That's illusion. Just like we are not these bodies. So to take oneself as the body, that is illusion. That's the greatest form of illusion, to think yourself the body. Or to act in a way that you are thinking, you're acting in relationship to the idea that I am this body, beyond what is required to take care of the body. So that is illusion. When we see or act in the wrong way, we see sense gratification objects, we go for them thinking they can give us pleasure. That is illusion. That is the greatest form of illusion, to think sense objects are the source of pleasure. So he was killed. The next one was who? Two demons left, the purport here. Shishupal. What was Shishupal's negative? Envy. Oh, he was so envious. When he was born, the first thing he said was, "You rascal Krishna." Not mama or daddy or kaka. No. He said, "You rascal Krishna." First words out of the child's mouth. He hated Krishna from the time he was born. He was actually the cousin of Krishna. So his mother was related to Krishna also. So when he was 1 year old, his mother took him to an astrologer. He was born with four arms. Shishupal was born with four arms, divine birth. She took him to an astrologer after 1 year. The astrologer said, when he sees the person who will be the cause of his death, two of his arms will fall off. Astrological reading. So, his mother decided to have a little ceremony for her new child after some time. So she called Krishna to come, because Krishna was his cousin. And Krishna said, "You don't really want me to come, do you?" He said, "Oh, yes, come and please see my new baby." He said, "I don't think I should come." And then she was really persistent. He said, "All right, I will come, but you may not be so happy." So she was thinking, what could be wrong? So when Krishna was there, he was also small. Little baby. He looked at Shishupal, and as soon as he did, Shishupal, of course, saw Krishna, and two of his arms fell off. And his mother saw that. She said, "Krishna, you're going to be the cause of the death of my child?" He said, "I don't want to kill him, but he hates me. He really hates me." Krishna said, "All right, I'll give him a benediction. He can blaspheme 100 times, but he must take a break and stop for at least 5 or 6 seconds. And then he can continue to, again, blaspheme 100 times. But if he goes over 100 without stopping, then I'm going to have to work. So, the Rajasuya sacrifice was there. And they were electing the most glorious person within the assembly. The most powerful and glorious person. So the election came and Krishna won. And Shishupala immediately got up and started to criticize and complain and saying one bad thing after another. Some of the soldiers in the sacrifice were angry. They were going to attack Shishupala. But Krishna told them to stop. Finally, Krishna was counting. 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101. Threw his chakra and gave him a haircut below the neck. Just cut his head off. Right there, Krishna did that. Everybody was shocked. And then the chakra acted in such a way that not a drop of blood hit the floor. Because if any drops of blood would have hit the floor, the whole Rajasukya sacrifice would have been, what we say, decimated, contaminated. Killed him right on the spot. And then the body of merged right into Krishna. Tantravarga, oh, he was so angry. You killed my friend, Shishupala. I'm going to get you. So Krishna was on his way to Vrindavan to go see the residents of Vrindavan. And Tantravarga came, and he came right in the path of Krishna with his gigantic club. He was huge. He was a monster. And he had this big club. And he challenged Krishna to a fight. Krishna was in a hurry. He didn't want to really spend time with this demon. So Tantravarga attacked him, and Krishna took out his club and knocked his club away. And then Tantravarga had no weapons, but he was so angry that he just charged at Krishna. It says in the Krishna book, he charged with his red hot anger. And Krishna just punched him, boom, in the chest, finished him. And then Krishna went on. He didn't waste time with this demon. And these were the three manifestations of Jaya and Vijaya, the sixth verse. This is a good question. Let me see if you know the answer. The first birth, they came back again as demons. The second set, they came back again. But the third, they got liberation. Why? Who knows the answer? Yeah, but there's another answer to it. That's correct. You're very correct. Thank you. But there's a certain consciousness in the last set of demons that were different than the first two sets. What was that consciousness? Huh? No, they actually knew Krishna was the supreme. Remorse? Remorse. Well, they were maybe somewhat remorseful because they had failed before. Fail, you become remorseful. No, it's mentioned that they actually understood that Krishna was the supreme in the last set. And therefore, because of that knowledge, they got liberation. So, of course, the three births are there, and that was also their destiny. So you may use either reason. But what Prabhupada is saying in this purport that is really, really outstanding, what to speak of a devotee who worships Krishna as a servant, a friend, a father, mother, or lover? How glorious are they who approaches the Lord with natural affection and love and service? So this purport really glorifies the devotees. And it shows how merciful Krishna is. No one can do anything to Krishna. The demons can't do anything. They can make all their attempts to destroy the Lord or to destroy even the devotees, but the Lord is always there. So a devotee doesn't want to worship the Lord with negative qualities, with lust or anger or fear or envy. Devotee wants to become the, what we say, lover of the Lord. And then to love Krishna, to serve him as a friend, Sakyaras, as a mother or father, Vatsalyaras, as a lover, conjugal Madhuryaras. This is the unique glory of Vaishnava culture, that you can worship the Lord in different moods. Just like we have our relationships in this world, with friends, family members, lovers, husbands and wives, and like that. So that same relationship is there with Krishna. And what is the qualification? One has to simply follow in the footsteps of one of Krishna's eternal servants, serve that servant in that same mood, and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then one can, we say, take on the mood of that servant, and then also serve the Lord in that same mood. So, these three personalities were great personalities in the spiritual world. They were Jai and Vijay. It's amazing what the Lord does to his eternal servants. He arranges for them to become demons. Haribo. Just because he wants to fight. And the servants of the Lord are always ready to carry out the instructions of the Lord. They didn't want to be away for seven births. They wanted to be away. They were thinking to be away from the Lord for seven births is too much pain, even if I'm a devotee. Let me be a demon so I can get back to my position in the spiritual world. How terrible it is to be in a material world. It's not a nice place. Padam padam vavyapade vipadam. Danger at every step. So don't try for that benediction. Don't try to become a demon for three lives. Try to become a devotee for one life. That's all. Go back to Godhead. We don't belong here. It's not a nice place. I mean, it's not as bad as other places. But still, we want to go back and serve Krishna in eternal loving relationship. Or to serve Krishna the way Krishna wants. Even to come back in the material world if he wants us to. If that's what he wants, then that's what we want. But if he doesn't give us some special mission to come and save the conditioned souls, that's a special souls get that mission. Then we want to go back to Krishna and serve Krishna in eternal loving relationship. Okay, any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Yes. In Krishna's service? There's a statement by Srila Prabhupada. He says you can use all of them except envy. He says that you have to destroy. That cannot be used in Krishna's service. Madness or pride? Well, pride, as I mentioned, we become proud to become a devotee. We're proud we got the mercy. Illusion? How to use illusion, Krishna? Well, transform an illusion into reality. That's the idea. It's a matter of transformation. It's not simply... Of course, there is spiritual illusion. That is yoga maya. Mahamaya, she controls the material illusion. Yoga maya is a feature of Mahamaya, or vice versa, actually. And she hides Krishna to enhance ras. Just like, you know, when... Give you an example. When the gopis were... Krishna had left the rasa dance, and Krishna was hiding. The gopis went looking for Krishna. Krishna put on four arms and was standing there as Narayan. So when the gopis came to find Krishna, They saw Narayan, they paid their obeisances, and then they kept going looking for Krishna. So Krishna wanted to enhance the love of the gopis by making them more anxious to find him. Like that. And he was also hiding because he wanted to meet Radharani. He was hiding from Radharani too. But Radharani was too powerful for Krishna. So her bhakti is too strong, so he lost his two arms when she came. Couldn't hold it. That's Radha's bhava. She's the best. So, yeah. Mahamaya. Yoga Maya. We want to be under the influence of Yoga Maya. Spiritual illusion. Madness or pride? Madness is pride. Or madha, the word madness is pride. It's another form. If one is mad, they're proud. Or you might take insanity. That's another definition. If someone is insane, what is the characteristic of insanity? Well, the word pride is used in such a way that to be proud is a form of insanity. Because you're just not that. You're just not that. You think when the conditioned soul thinks they are great, but their greatness and qualifications are coming from another source. That's the illusion which causes. Illusion causes pride. How they work? I'll give you an example how they work. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In anger, lust is there. In greed, anger and lust is there. In illusion, lust, anger, and greed is there. In pride, lust, anger, greed, and illusion is there. And envy, you get the whole package. Like that. So we want to destroy these. How do you destroy these? These six enemies cause the six whips. What are the six whips? Birth, death, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion. These are the six whips caused by the six enemies. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you want to destroy these? Harinam Sankirtan Ki Ja. Paravidya Prabhu Ki, who is giving us Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So Harinam Sankirtan is the way to destroy these demons. There's no other way, really. I mean, we can work on them as individual features of our struggle in Krishna consciousness. We should be always conscious of them appearing from time to time in our consciousness and in our life. But the fast way to destroy them, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Harinam crushes these anarthas. So, it's the fast way. That's Lord Chaitanya's process. Any other questions? Comments? Vishwambar Prabhu, would you like to add something to your class? I'm sorry. I feel bad that I took your spot. Hare Krishna. Not as nice as your class could have been. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes. Jayan Vijay, yeah. Yeah, it's in the third canto, the whole story. The four Kumaras, they cursed Jai and Vijay. But that was arranged by the Lord. Oh, Jagai and Madai. Yeah, after coming back to the spiritual world, when they heard that Lord Chaitanya was coming, they wanted to take part in his pastimes. That's what's mentioned by, I believe it's Vrindavan Das Thakur or Krishna Das Kaviraj, one of the two. One commentator mentions that Jagai and Madai are actually Jai and Vijay are reappearing. Because Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are so wonderful that they wanted to take part. I guess when you're used to being a demon, you get the knack of how to become a good demon. After three births, you come back again. It's more natural. Little philosophical speculation here. But, you know, they didn't get killed. And Lord Chaitanya didn't kill demons. What did he do? He made them into great, great Vaishnavas. They were such great Vaishnavas that there's a place on the banks of the Ganga called Madai Ghat, where Madai built a ghat after he became purified. And that place is considered a place where you bathe before you go into the Ganga to take bath. So they became great devotees, actually. Purify. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. There's different kinds of liberation. There's the four Vaishnava liberations, and then there's the impersonal liberation. Bhakti includes liberation. The four kinds of Vaishnava liberations, to be on the same planet of the Lord, to have the same opulence of the Lord, features of the Lord, and to be in the association of the Lord, leads one to the goal of going back to the spiritual world. Those liberations can give you another birth in a higher situation. But ultimately, a devotee doesn't aspire for those. The demons don't get that kind of liberation. Demons get sahujya, which is merging into the body of the Lord or merging into the bodily effulgence of the Lord. To merge into the body of the Lord is better than merging into the body effulgence of the Lord. But both are only given to the demons. Devotees don't want that. Or the impersonalist mayavadis get that also. But then, what is that verse? Arunakrishchena padam padantiyata. That the demons, or even the impersonalists who get that level of liberation, they fall down again to the material world. Because there's no service, no active service. But devotees can get what we call, this is called Vaishnav liberation. Where they get these opulence and they continue in another birth to serve the Lord in a better situation. And then from there, they can go back home, back to Godhead in the next life.